You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 21st of July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marks around markets. We've seen all the updates from most of the impacted retailers and properties. I want to get a sense on that. Results from Karoo and Greg Katz and Ellen Borgen on the Stellar Anglo-American and BHP updates that hit the market yesterday. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Truba's SA sales performance surprises to the upside, notwithstanding that we're working from home, so we're not sort of getting glam anymore, but they bought some really good numbers. And from Business Day, Transnet headaches will cost Kumba billions in lost sales. They're managing to mine the iron ore, but they're struggling to get it to port as Transnet has some issues. It's taken about 1 million tonnes of full-year forecast. That's off about a 40 million tonne forecast. So it's about 2.5% of production they simply can't get to market. Morning markets, US was green overnight. The S&P up 1.5%, NASDAQ up 1.2%. Asia also green, Sydney up 1.2%, Turkey up 0.5%. Commodities mixed overnight, gold a little weaker, $1,809 an ounce. Rand certainly weaker at 1468. And top 40, we're looking for a green open, 65 points to the upside. What's that? Just over 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Chantal, appreciate your early morning time. We've seen updates from most of the listed stocks in terms of the impact of last week's rioting and looting, violence, burning, and so it went on. My sense of it, certainly in the retail space, there's been impacts, but it looks like they're going to be sort of up and running fairly quickly, and it's not going to have a material impact on sales and perhaps profitability?
Yeah, I mean, so far from the major retailers, we've had 1,692 stores impacted. And that sounds like a whole lot. But in the context of the listed retail space, it's about 8% of total SA footprint and 6% of their global footprint. So for them, it's quite small. So firstly, the last trading days, I think, will probably have the largest impact, but it's only about a week to 2 weeks in most instances. And I think there you're going to have some of the larger grocers most impacted just because some of the malls in which they operate and strip malls in which they operate remain closed. But if you consider that most of that stock will be covered by insurers, thank goodness for Sastry, I didn't know them a week ago, want to know them forever. Most of that stock that is lost is going to be covered. And even in the case where there's been damage to distribution centers, most of these companies have alternative plans in place. And they have business continuation plans, and they can actually finally use them. So it seems as if it won't be as big. It might not even impact on dividends at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Pick and Pay who were stocking some of their KZN stores out of Gauteng distribution centers. And you know, we have top retailers in South Africa. We absolutely do. And in a sense, they've kind of proved it from a logistical perspective. I take your point there in terms of this was crisis management. And so far, they're managing it fairly well, all considered.
Yeah. One of the really cool things that I saw yesterday doing the rounds or the news or in the news was during COVID-19 with the hard lockdown, ShopRite actually developed this USave container model where they could bring USave closer to the people. And it's actually worked out quite well in this instance where some of their stores are closed and might be closed for a longer than anticipated, they can push through a container or a truck and they can still service those communities. And of course, they're not losing turnover.
Yeah, they're not losing turnover. The other story that came out yesterday, confirmation of Mr. Price buying Yuppie Chef. Not a big deal in Mr. Price's life, but certainly, I've used Yuppie Chef. I quite like the platform. It makes sense for a deal. And I suppose it's just Mr. Price sort of doing a bolt-on to boost up their sort of more niche, higher-end product range.
Yeah, Mr. Price has been doing quite a few bolt-on acquisitions. So in the value segment that competes with Pep and Ackermans and Jet, they've acquired Power Fashion. Mm-hmm. And this one is kind of their higher-end bolt-on acquisition, which is focused more, of course, on homewares. That is also an area of the market that is growing quite quickly, along with paint, hardware, and DIY stuff, just because people are now kitting out their homes to be there a little bit more. And even in a post-COVID world, we are going to see a lot more people working from home and being around home. And you then want that fancy kettle and you want that nice blender because you're stuck there all day.
That's it. And you said a little more. I'm stuck at home all day, every day. Chantal Marks, Head Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning. We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insight into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider, license number 719.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Zach Callister, CEO of Karooooo. They were, of course, Cartrack. They moved to the NASDAQ. They're now Karooooo. They're also still in the JSE. Quarter ending May, subscribers up 21% to just a little under 1.4 million. Revenue up 17% at 626 million. This, of course, a quarter update because the NASDAQ. So this is not a half or full year. Zach, appreciate the early morning time. When we spoke 3 months back, I imagine, COVID was still a challenge in your organization, and because you're in different geographies, different challenges in different markets, is it starting to settle down, or is it still somewhat of a headache?
It's undoubtedly a moving target, and what we are seeing is sporadic changes both in the way COVID is spreading and the different variants, mm-hmm. and also governments changing policies continuously. And obviously, it's a big headwind for us. And but we're doing our best under the circumstances, and we look forward to sooner or later that things will normalize, and then we can really execute on our plans. But I think under the circumstances, we're navigating the headwinds as much as possible.
Yeah, and I take your point. It is a changing landscape. You know, for example, South Africa, we were doing great, and now we're in a level 4 adjusted, and we'll see what the president says on Sunday. Your customer acquisition costs, which is obviously, you know, you've got R&D and the like, and I want to touch on that, but customer acquisition is a big deal for you. It was down about a fifth in terms of that cost, mostly sales and marketing coming down. Is that COVID improvements, perhaps, as we sort of come through the pandemic, notwithstanding the still challenges, or is it just sort of efficiencies that you're managing to do in your sales and marketing teams?
Well, I think it's twofold, and the drop of 20% doesn't necessarily paint a true picture. Mm-hmm. So in Q1 of last year, it was really the beginning of the pandemic, and we didn't really know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And most governments were making very ad hoc policies, and it was very difficult. We've somehow been able to learn how to deal with the current situation, and I think we were very unproductive a year ago, and we've become more productive. But having said that, I don't believe we're as productive as we'd like to be.
Okay, and I take your point. Again, it is, it, of course, it was, you know, a year ago. No one knew quite what was happening. You're operating in a number of different markets and regions. Do you sort of focus on certain regions for growth, or is it a case of if you're in a market, you're going sort of aggressively for growth in all the operating regions?
So we certainly are going for growth in all the regions. At this point in time, you know, I don't think we can consider ourselves aggressively trying to grow the business. We've got to be very prudent with our capital allocation, mm-hmm. especially considering the lockdowns. And, you know, for instance, in Asia, it's very, very difficult to grow the business with so many travel restrictions and quarantines. And not only the travel restrictions, you can't even get into countries. And we've got a lot of our very senior staff stuck in Singapore that mm-hmm. cannot get into the region. So it's very difficult at this point in time. So we're allocating our capital as prudently as we can, while being mindful that the market is a large, underpenetrated market, and the opportunity is there. But you know, we are being prudent with the way we allocate our capital.
In terms of new customers, I mean, is it around sort of growing market, picking up a completely new customers, growing the market, or is it sort of, you know, taking customers from other providers? I was digging around, and certainly it looks like, you know, there's a lot of capacity for new clients, but perhaps they're sort of not interested in the product.
So we're getting a lot of our growth from new customers. Clearly, we do have customers coming from existing competitors, mm-hmm. We believe the greenfields is much larger than the customers that are currently with our competitors. So we very much focus on greenfield. Obviously, if a customer that's with a competitor comes to us, you know, we're not going to say no. But I mean, our focus is certainly not to go after the base of our competitors.
Carzooka, which is your used car platform, how's that doing? And I imagine one of your, is it a case of, if there's been a tracker in the car, you can almost say, you know, this really was driven by a granny, not a sort of an 18-year-old kid. Is that gaining some good traction for you?
So our tech will only be ready towards the end of this year. Mm-hmm. We certainly are building our capabilities to be able to bring the most value to all our subscribers. We want to make sure that when they do sell their vehicle, they get the best price for their vehicle. And we also want to make sure when we on-sell that vehicle to the next customer, we have a certain level of certainty of the quality of the vehicle, mm-hmm. where it's been driven, how it's been driven. And I think Carzooka is certainly going to bring tremendous amount of value both to our existing customers and to potentially new customers in the future.
So Callista, CEO Karoo on the line from Singapore, appreciate your early morning time. We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insight into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider, license number 719.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny and I with Greg Katzenborgen, Director at Sanlam Private Wealth. Greg, appreciate your early morning time. Updates yesterday from Anglo American and BHP Billiton. In a sense, my looking at them, I mean, it's almost the absolute perfect scenario for them. They've got commodity prices at great levels. Debt levels are low. There's no major M&A. Production is knocking the lights out. This is their perfect storm, and they're managing it incredibly well. Your take on the updates from the two?
Hi, Simon. Well, you accurately reflected what's happening. Look, very strong production updates from both Anglos and BHP. It's interesting that 2 years ago, if you take the top 40 mining companies in the world, they had total profits of about $60 billion. This year, they are expected to earn $118 billion, almost double of what they did 2 years ago. So, yes, they're in a very, very sweet spot. And results, especially for Anglo, will be out next week on the 27th. So we're expecting some excellent dividends. If you look right across their production, I mean, their diamond production was up 134%. Platinum group metals was up 59% on BHP. They met all their production guidance across iron ore, copper production, although next year their copper production will fall. And Anglo's copper production is only up 2%. Now, copper is one of the metals that you're going to use in decarbonizing fossil or energy. And so you can, you know, this is setting up things like copper for even bigger shortfalls in the years to go ahead. But you mentioned also that they haven't, you know, for a while, they haven't spent money on CapEx. So they didn't make the same mistakes that they did in the previous cycle. But if you look in around 2010, BHP had about 18 projects in the pipeline. Now they have two. And the news came out late yesterday, just about as the market was closing, that BHP are exploring getting out of oil and gas. So one of those projects that is still in production is an increase in the, one of the oil fields that is run by BP. So that leaves them really with only one project in the pipeline, which is the Jansen potash thing in Canada. You can see that if, unless it's all very well that, you know, they've done very well by not spending money as prices have been rising. But, you know, if they don't start spending some money soon, that in a few years' time, you're going to run out of, it's going to be big shortfalls of critical metals, especially the metals that are required for decarbonization. So that is a little bit of a concern. But yes, it's going to be a dividend bonanza for investors. I'm expecting really good dividends from all of them. You know, iron ore is still big in there, in BHP's life. It's big in Anglo's life. And the one concern that I have is that although Kumba had increased their production, their sales were slightly down. And that is two things. There was bad weather. But the other really worrying thing is that they weren't able to get enough of their product down to the coast to ship it out because of Transnet and Transnet's problems. So that is a worry for future, and I hope that this commodity boom doesn't pass South Africa by like it did in the past, when the last time when we had all the Eskom problems, 2008, when Anglo's hit its previous high.
Yeah, third-party challenges. Do you, as an investor, I mean, I look at both of them, and there are nuances and difference between Anglo American and BHP. As an investor, is one standout better, or could you just say, you know what, they're both doing great, I'll have a slice of each?
So for me personally, I would go for Anglo's. I've always liked the company, but I think it's because it has you know, diamonds, whereas the others don't have diamonds, although you could say it doesn't have oil like BHP, but everybody's looking to get out of oil and gas. So for me, it's Anglo's is the one, I think, also going to be increasing copper production, which I think, you know, is going to be critical in the future, although BHP also looking to increase copper production. But the problem is there's very few copper projects available, and they're quite expensive, and they take years to bring on board. So I do like both of them, but I would probably say Anglo gets the nod because it's more diversified. You know, people are saying that, look, the problem is if you rely too much on iron ore and China is slowing down, but the problem is that although China's economy is slowing down, and none of these economies can grow at these rates after the pandemic at a constant of these you know, double digit rates. So China, it was inevitable to slow down, but the thing is it's slowing down to around about 8%. also, if you look at what's happening with steel prices and production of steel, I think it's too early to write off iron ore. So I like from both, but your question was, which one do I prefer? And that would be Anglo's.
Anglo's, and I take it that the diamonds, which was also, we've seen some amazing updates from the luxury goods manufacturers. Greg Katzenborgen, Director, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning, sir. That's it for today's show. The question we're asking you on our poll, chatting there with Greg, he's preferring Anglo. Do you have a preference, Anglo, perhaps Billiton, perhaps both you can't choose, or maybe neither? You can have your vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. Yesterday's poll, we were talking to Martin Smith about that Woolies update, and we asked you, how did you think it? Better than expected from almost half of you. About a third said as expected, and about a fifth thought it was a little weak. Yo, you were expecting a lot there. I quite liked that Woolies update. You can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we are live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Eleanor, and Masekhla. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.